All right, so first of all, I just want to thank everybody for coming out today in the blazing heat. But before I get started, I do just want to thank everybody here for your support and the encouragement that we received from you throughout this time. You know, it's not easy not being able to meet with you on Sunday mornings, because Sunday mornings is the day that we live for here at the church, to be with our church family. And believe me when I say, it is not the same doing church online. You know, it's not the way we want to do things, but for now, it's the way we have to do things. And so I just want to tell you, I am so honored and just so thankful to be a part of this church family, to know that there's the encouragement that we receive from you and the support that we receive from you. And, you know, we're all in this together. We do have one more outdoor service we're going to do on August 2nd. And then on September 6th, Labor Day weekend, providing everything goes the way we would like it to, we'll have indoor church here at the church. We'll have church with everybody here in the building. So we would like to do it with as minimal restrictions as possible. I don't feel right saying, hey, if you're in this age group or if you have children or if you have this or whatever, you cannot come in. You know, and the way things are going lately, we don't even know what next week looks like, the restrictions they're going to put or lift or whatever. So mark your calendars, September 6th, Labor Day weekend. As of right now, that's when we plan on having church inside together. Amen. All right, so today's, the title of today's sermon is Jesus, Peter, and your first car, your first new car. So what do those three things have in common? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because I think everybody here, can everybody here remember your first car? Maybe it wasn't a brand new car, but it was new to you, right? I remember mine. Mine was a 1970 Dodge Dart Swinger. I got it in 1987 from my great uncle who passed away. It had 32,000 miles on it. This car was beautiful. And I'm sure that most of you can remember your first car, right? I mean, you took care of it, you washed it, you waxed it, you kept it clean. We didn't have the tire shine back then, but if we did, I'm sure mine would have been the shiniest. But then after a while, maybe you got a ding on the car or you got a scratch on the car and, you know, the car starts showing a little bit of wear. And in my case, I hit a deer and crumpled the whole, not the front end, because the bumpers on those cars, you could go through a brick building, you'd be fine. But the hood and the grill and everything was just crumpled. And my dad and I went to a junkyard, and we got new parts for it and everything, but it just wasn't the same. It was a green hood, the same as the car, but it wasn't the same shade of green. And so I started becoming a little more distant from the car. You know, it didn't have that fresh, new, cool car shine to it anymore, and I didn't take quite as much care of it as I did. And then really, to be quite honest with you, by the end of the time that I was done with that car, I think I sold it for maybe $50. And I remember driving it to the guy that bought it from me, and the wheel was shaking. I mean, the front end was a mess. And I mean, I drove that car into the ground. It was a good car. But thinking back then, I denied the worth of what that car could have been. Does that make sense? And I think a lot of us can take an analogy like that and use it to compare our relationship with Jesus, right? When you first come to Jesus, you're totally dedicated to Him. You want to do everything for Him. You want to spend as much time as you can with Him. And really, if you know, a lot of times there's that dedication, and then maybe there's some distance, and maybe you even go as far as maybe some denial. And I think all three of those cycles that maybe we go through with Jesus, we can all relate to. And the good thing about that is, there is a guy in the Bible who we can very much relate to, because he went through all three of those and then he came full circle, and his name is Peter. Peter, from day one, was dedicated to Jesus. You know, he had a brother. Peter was a fisherman. And in Matthew chapter 4, here's what it says. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Peter and Andrew, casting their net into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus looks at them and says, "Follow me, for I will make you fishers of men." You know, Jesus wasn't a stranger to them. They had heard his message. He started getting his message out. He started revealing to the people what the kingdom of God was like. And I think they were picking up that this might be the Messiah they've been waiting for. But what kind of dedication does it take to drop everything you're doing, your entire livelihood, and follow something that you're not quite sure about, but sounds incredibly compelling? And think about this for a moment. Just think about this. This was a sales pitch. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's all Jesus said. They didn't ask questions. They didn't want to know, where are we going? How are we going to do this? Fishers of men. But they followed him. They were dedicated to him. And this was the beginning of Jesus calling his leadership team to him, the 12 disciples. They went with him wherever he went, spreading the message of God, revealing to people the love that God had for mankind. Peter and the others had great adventures with Jesus. And Jesus certainly lived up to his end of the sales pitch. But I want to look at a crazy adventure that Peter had with Jesus that none of the others were willing to partake in. And you can find this in Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to set it up. This was a day that Jesus had spent all day long preaching and revealing to the people the kingdom of God. He was healing the sick. He was casting out demons. He was setting people free. He was bringing a message of hope that people had not heard yet. And then on top of that, he fed 5,000 people out of just a very little bit of food. You talk about a miracle. So then the day's over with, and like Jesus had a tendency to do, he wanted to get away a little bit by himself, spend time with the Father. So he sent the disciples away, said, "Guys, go ahead, cross the sea. I'll meet you over there in a little bit." And here's where we pick up this story. Matthew 14, verse 24. "Now they're in the boat, and it was now in the middle of the sea, and there was a great storm, and the sea was being tossed by waves. The wind was contrary. It's going back and forth. This is a bad storm. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." You know, there's 100 sermons based on this story right here. All kinds of different titles, you know, about faith, about lack of faith, about doubt, about not taking your eyes off of Jesus, about not looking at the storm in your life, but looking at Jesus. But can I just say something before we go a little bit further? First of all, the disciples were scared when they saw Jesus. I don't think that Jesus got all the way up to the boat in the middle of this raging storm in the sea and then snuck up on them. This is the way. Now, this is just me, all right? This is just the way I read this. But think about it. If the wind and the waves are tossing the sea back and forth, what was Jesus doing? Was he like, was he riding the waves? Was he going up and down? What exactly did that look like? And I imagine them seeing him at a distance, and they see a figure walking towards them, and that's why they got scared. Like there's something walking on the water that appears to be like a human. That's not normal. That kind of stuff doesn't happen every day, let alone at all. And then when Jesus gets a little closer to them, he says, "Hey guys, look, be of good cheer, it's me." And I picture him laughing and having fun. That's the way I picture this. I don't think he snuck up on them and was just like, you know, how thou art. But then Peter's like, Lord, if that's you, call me out there. And he comes out. And a lot of times we read this and we think Jesus scolded Peter, right? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't think Jesus was scolding Peter. I think Jesus might have been laughing. Like, Peter, come on, let me help you up out of here. Come on, let's get in the boat. And as soon as they got in the boat, the wind ceased. That's just how I envisioned this. So I just wanted to, that's a little side note that I wanted to have here. But let's just get back to Peter and his dedication towards Jesus. I don't think this is a story of failure, and I don't think this is a story of a lack of faith with Peter. As a matter of fact, I think it's quite the opposite. You know, everybody was afraid except Peter. Think about your life when things get scary. When storms come, when you don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, what kind of a prayer do you pray? Like for me, I might pray a very bold prayer in front of people, but when it's just me late at night, I'm not so bold, if I'm being honest. I pray things like, Lord Jesus, please, please get us through this. Please protect my family, protect me. Don't let anything bad happen, God. Those are the kind of prayers that we pray, if we're being honest, when it's just us and Jesus. But not Peter. Peter said, Jesus, if you're in the midst of the storm, then call me out there. I want to be where you're at. If you are in the storm, Jesus, I would rather be in the storm than over here doing it on my own in this boat. How many of us can say that? Jesus, life is spiraling out of control. If you're in the midst of this, call me to be where you're at. I need to walk through this with you. That's dedication. Peter was dedicated to being wherever Jesus was, no matter what. Dedicated. But if we continue to read in the Gospels the story of Jesus and Peter in particular, their adventures had some interesting twists and turns. You see, Jesus had the 12 disciples, but then he had an inner group of three that he did things with that he didn't do with the others. And it was James and John and Peter. So one could say that Peter and Jesus were pretty tight. But Peter went from full-on dedication to Jesus to distancing himself when Jesus could have used some of that dedication from Peter. You see, Jesus was betrayed by one of his very own disciples. And the Jewish religious leaders, they hated Jesus for everything he was worth. And they were out to get him. So Judas, one of the disciples, turned him in. I can show you where he's at. I can take you to him. And here's what happens. In Luke chapter 22, it says, having arrested Jesus, they brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Well, one could read that and say, well, yeah, he should have followed him at a distance. But you see, Peter wasn't a follow at a distance kind of guy. That wasn't Peter's style. You know, Peter wasn't afraid to confront Jesus about some things. As a matter of fact, he disagreed with something Jesus said, and he was like, no, no, Lord, this will never happen. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, looked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You see, Peter wasn't afraid to voice his opinion to Jesus. When the religious leaders and the soldiers and the temple guards came to arrest Jesus, it was Peter who pulled out his sword and sliced the guard's ear off. And Jesus picked it up and healed it back to his head. See, Peter was all out for Jesus, sold out. He was willing to die for Jesus. But in this particular moment, he was keeping his distance. Why is that? I mean, could it be that something had happened? Like this amazing sales pitch that he walked away from a few years earlier didn't seem to quite have that shine to it, like a brand new car. Maybe there was one too many dings that Peter had experienced. Maybe Peter was like, I don't know. I didn't know that he was going to get arrested. This wasn't the plan that I thought we were following. I'm keeping my distance. Jesus needed somebody with him at that time, but he had nobody. Was it time for Peter to reconsider what he had gotten himself into? Was it time to start thinking about where he was in life instead of these crazy adventures? All of a sudden, things are not making sense, and maybe, just maybe, Peter needs to reconsider what he's gotten himself into. You know, I don't know, but I wonder how many of us have thought this about our relationship with Jesus. Maybe a prayer didn't get answered. Maybe things aren't working out like you thought they were with your marriage, or maybe you didn't get that job that you were wanting to get. Maybe you didn't get that promotion you were putting into. Maybe, again, a prayer didn't get answered. And you're wondering, where is Jesus? I thought he was always going to be there. And so you start getting a little distant. Maybe, you ready for this one? Maybe this COVID virus has you wondering, why are we doing the things that we're doing? Why are things not working out the way I want them to? I don't like this new normal. I don't like it either. But here we are. And we have to do this together, or we're not going to get through this together. And instead of getting through the storm with Jesus, we find ourselves a little bit distant because we're not focusing on him. We're not asking him to be a part of what we're going through. We're taking the wait and see approach as to how much we want to dedicate ourselves to this next chapter in life. And then it gets worse for Peter, because Peter went from totally dedicated to distant to straight up denying Jesus. And Jesus even told Peter, listen, Pete, before the end of the night, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter's like, I'd never deny you, Lord. Never. Well, this kind of reminds me of my first new car. I went from being dedicated to keeping it nice. Then some dings and things and challenges happened, and I wasn't so dedicated to the car anymore. And then I denied the value that it could have had in its existence and sold it to somebody that saw the value in it and probably said, man, this guy doesn't have a clue as to what he has. If I would have kept that car nice, it could have been way more worth the value that I saw in it. You could say I denied the existence of its worth. Well, 3 times Peter denied the existence of his friendship with Jesus the night that Jesus was betrayed. And the night that Jesus was betrayed, it wasn't a secret thing in the night that happened that nobody was to know about. Everybody knew what was taking place. As a matter of fact, there was a fire pit in the high priest's courtyard of his home. People were hanging out there. They were waiting to see what was happening. And people were saying, we know you. You've been with this Jesus. And Peter, 3 times he was asked that. And 3 times he said, I don't know him. Bible even says he cursed. He was so distraught over this. And then, this part makes me feel so bad for Peter. I feel bad for Jesus for what he was in. But Jesus did what he did for us. And Jesus is a big boy, much bigger than all of us ever can be put together. He can face the challenges. He's the one that gets us through everything. But the 3rd time Peter denied Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus looked out and he looked at Peter. They locked eyes. And I have to imagine that it wasn't a look of anger. It wasn't a look of disappointment. It wasn't any of those looks that Jesus had. It was a look of sorrow. It was a look of sorrow because Jesus knew the inner turmoil that Peter was going to go through because of what he had just been through. The next day, Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. And I have to wonder that I bet this was a low point in Peter's life. Maybe depression set in. I mean, think about it. He's totally sold out for Jesus, slicing people's ears off, telling Jesus, yo, you don't know what you're talking about. Jesus, it's, come on, man, we got this. And now he denied him. And now he's in a tomb. Peter's facing a lot of unknowns and what ifs right now. But this isn't the end of their great adventure. You see, Jesus rises from the dead, as we know, and the Bible records many times where he hung out with people after this. He was seen many times in different places after he rose from the dead. But there's a special story in particular, dedicated in the Bible just to Peter. The disciples are out fishing all night long. They see this guy up on the beach, and he's like, hey, have you got any fish? And Peter looks out, and he's like, Lord, is it you? And he jumps out of the boat, and he swims to the shore, and it's Jesus. And they have this conversation. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yeah. He says it again. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Geez, Peter, do you really love me? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, go feed my sheep. In other words, go preach the gospel of the good news. I'm alive. Jesus and Peter had a special moment together. And Jesus said to Peter, it's cool, man. It's okay. We're going to get through this together. You know, and then the rest of the disciples came up and the best fish fry they probably ever had on the beach. But when Peter sees Jesus, it's typical Peter fashion. He jumps out of the boat and goes swimming to him. That's who Peter was. Peter wasn't a stay at the distance kind of guy. And as the church begins to grow, Peter played a major role in helping the church grow and getting the good news of Jesus Christ out to others. And just like when he heard that first sales pitch, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, his dedication to the gospel was like no other. And I share this message with you today because it's not uncommon for our relationship with Jesus to have its challenges. It's not. As long as we stay close to him. Once you realize you're getting distant, draw yourself close to him. Because what you don't know is Jesus is trying to get your attention the whole time. It's up to us. And you know what? It's going to be challenging, our relationship with Jesus. Because it's not always a give, give, give. It's a give and take, give and take. Life is challenging enough as it is right now. We all need Jesus to get us through this, and we need each other. So I'll close it with this. Maybe you're here today and you're totally dedicated to Jesus. And you just want what's best for everybody. I don't care about the masks. I don't care about no masks. I don't care about whatever. I just want everybody to know Jesus. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Maybe you're here today and things are going good. But you're feeling a little distant from Jesus. Maybe things are, well, you fill in the blank. And it's kind of come between you and Jesus a little bit. You find yourself slowly becoming a little bit distant from him. Or maybe you're here today and you're done. You forced yourself to come because you need to hear from God today. And you're just hanging on by a thread. You're real close to just denying your relationship with him. And if that does speak to you, I hope that this message gives you some hope. I believe our friend Peter would know what each person in those three categories is going through. Because you see, Peter's life with Jesus came full circle. Dedication, distance, denial, back to dedication. It's okay. Challenges in life are okay. So the question that I want to leave you with is this. Are we going to join Jesus in the storm, or are we going to allow the challenges in life to keep us from being as dedicated to Him as we should be. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. I thank you, Jesus, that you don't allow things to get to you. You are there for us no matter what. You will leave the 99 sheep to go get that one. And I thank you for that, God. And I pray for where everybody is right now, Lord Jesus, each person. I ask, Lord God, that as we head into some worship here, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, would join us, would speak to us, would draw each one of us closer to you as we allow you to minister to us in where we are at in life today. And I believe that today is the day that certain prayers will be answered. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you guys for braving the heat. Personally, I kind of like the heat, but it's hot. But I do have some words of ministry. I've got some words for some people. But as I was worshiping, you know, I just felt like the Lord wanted to address something. And that is, you know, we might not be happy with where things are at right now. But if there's one thing that is never going to change, it's the gospel. The message of Jesus will never change, and the message of Jesus will never be snuffed out. So you may think, well, we can't come to church. I'm not happy. We can't do this. I'm not happy. We can't do that. I'm not happy. But one thing that we can do is we can say, Jesus, where can I be used in this time? Because His message is always the same. And maybe it's time for us to say, okay, what do I need to do to be the light in a dark world? Because we're having church today, but there are places around the world that could never do what we're doing right now. Their villages would be burned down. They would be hunted down and killed. We still have the freedom here to do what we're doing today. And we will be in this building again, doing it again. But for now, I just want to kind of put this challenge out to you. If that speaks to you and you're struggling with what's going on, listen, I have had so many conversations with God the past few months, and I think that's what He's telling me. Well, why don't you go out there and do something for me in the midst of this? Talk to somebody at the store. Be a word of encouragement to somebody. Do something on social media that's encouraging. The gospel message of Jesus Christ will never be snuffed out. Amen? So, one thing that I think that I just want to ask, I feel like Jesus wants to address, is there anybody here that's dealing with fear? An issue of fear, like crippling fear. You know, does that speak to anybody? And it could be in any area, you know. Does that speak to anybody? Because Jesus wants to set you free from that. If that speaks to you, amen, in the back. Anybody else? Lift up your hand so I can see it. Just, amen, right there. Good deal. Anybody else? Fear of whatever. I mean, I'm talking crippling fear because Jesus wants to set you free from that today. Anybody else? Right there. Amen, brother. Come on, this is your time. There's a reason you're here today, sitting in this hot sun, and one of them is because Jesus said you need to be somewhere today. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody in the cars? Honk your horn. Right there. Yes. All right. Listen, let's pray. Lord, I speak to those areas of fear in each one of these lives that raised their hands. God, I speak peace. God, I speak confidence. God, I speak boldness. And I know for some of you, it's a spirit of fear, a real spirit of fear. So Lord Jesus, I rebuke that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, that you bring peace, confidence, boldness, and that you begin to fill them up with your life, Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Also, I got another word, but I see my young friend Jameson over here. I just want to say hi to Jameson Poland. This little dude is the man. Hi, Jameson. So I have a prophetic word for my friend Miguel right here. So, you guys don't know Miguel like I do. I don't even know Miguel like most people do, but this guy right here is amazing. And Miguel, this is a prophetic word that the Lord wants you to know. You will one day have a voice for Jesus, and you will speak it with such boldness that people will listen to you and they will follow you. They won't follow Miguel, but they'll follow the Jesus in Miguel. And when I say boldness, I don't mean like you're going to be raising a banner. I mean, it's going to come naturally. You'll find yourself having conversations with people about Jesus. And you'll find yourself answering questions that you didn't even know you had the answers to. That's boldness. So just lift up your hands. I want to pray that over you, man. Lord, I thank you so much. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I thank you, Jesus, for Miguel. And Miguel, Jesus is going to take all of the things that are rolling around in your head that you don't like, and he's going to crumple them up, and he's going to throw them in the trash, and he's going to give you a boldness. He's going to give you a no-fear attitude. He's going to give you a dedicated to Jesus, not staying in the distance attitude like Peter had. And you will preach his message in a way that comes naturally, and people will listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lift up your hands for a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you all. It's such a blessing to see you today. Have a great week. We'll see you.